Wendy Snyder in for Bob Surratt this morning. And when I listen to Bob, this is one of my favorite segments when he talks to Karen Conti, attorney at Conti Law. Karen, how's it going this morning?
Oh, I am doing well, Wendy. Nice to hear your voice.
It's nice to be heard. I'll tell you that much. All right. Hurricane Ian. I have been following it. This was something that I really was looking at, all the flooding. It was really terrible. These poor people had, there was someone on TikTok who was on an inflatable pool that was floating in her living room. That's what she was in. So what about the insurance coverage? Is anything taken care of for these victims of Hurricane Ian?
Unfortunately, probably most of the people who have damage are not covered by this. And the reason is that flood insurance is not covered under normal homeowners insurance. And only the people who are inland really even, people who are inland don't get flood insurance for obvious reasons, because they don't think they're going to get flooded. Well, in this case, the water surged so far inland that a lot of this damage has to do with flooding. So most of these people are not going to have insurance for this. Insurance is really expensive. The say the average insurance for your home is about $1,200, say, a year. In Florida, it's triple that. So it's somewhere around $4,300. And that's just for insurance, not including flood insurance. So people are not insured. Any of these damage claims that are going to be made that have to do with flooding, with meaning water coming from inside as opposed to rain water, are going to be denied. And so a lot of these people are going to be out of luck. And so they're just going to have to rely on FEMA. And there's, you know, you can get about $10,000. It's about the average you can get from the government. And that's it. You know,
that's not much.
Out of luck. No. And think about the people who have mortgages. They have to continue to pay their mortgage on a house they may not have anymore. So there's going to be bankruptcy. It's just going to be massive financial disaster for these people.
Now, can you get, obviously you can get flood insurance. And if you live in Florida, perhaps that might be smart to get because of hurricanes.
You can. It's super expensive. A lot of people just can't afford it. I mean, along with your mortgage and everything else,
yeah.
People just think they're, you know, and the idea of getting that is, you know, it's cost prohibitive. And most people don't think, like I said, if you're living inland, that you're going to have a problem with flooding. And in this case, you know, it happened all over the state. The other problem is that these insurance companies may go bankrupt with the billions of dollars of claims. There's supposedly over $30 billion of damage in Florida right now. Mm-hmm. And these insurance companies may go insolvent, and then even the people who have insurance are not going to get paid. So this is just one big disaster.
And the poor pets, it's just, come on, if you're leaving your house and you're evacuating, bring your pets with you, please. I know Paws is bringing some more pets from Florida to here to Chicago for people to adopt them, but it's just, come on, they're your kids. Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court opened up its fall session this week. What is on the docket, Karen?
There's some really important cases, and they're a little technical, but they really touch on a lot of issues that could change the way we live. One of them, it has to do with affirmative action. And for many years, there has been a Supreme Court case that has ruled that says that, you know, the colleges can use race in deciding who to have in, just because diversity is a good thing, and that it's okay if that's one of the factors that's used. And that whole thing is going to be up for grabs, because Harvard and North Carolina have been sued, University of North Carolina, and the court is going to decide whether or not it is discrimination to use race as a basis for admission. So that could overturn precedent that's been in place for about 20 years. So that's one. That's one issue.
Okay, give us another one.
One that's kind of interesting is a web designer decided that she does not want to design web pages for people of same-sex marriage. She said that is a religious thing. She's against same-sex marriage, and then she was sued, basically saying that the discrimination laws in that state prohibit somebody from denying services based upon gender and sexual orientation. So that's going to be up for grabs. The idea that can you use your religious or your First Amendment rights to say, I'm not going to serve people because I don't agree with their gender or their sexual preference. And again, that's sort of been heard by the Supreme Court, but now we have a court that's much more conservative. And so it may be that we get a different opinion here.
Yeah. What was the case about the wedding cake? I just, you know, who cares what happens in somebody else's house? I mean, seriously.
I know. It's, you know, and a lot of people say, well, you know, I shouldn't be forced to do something that offends me. On the other hand, think about how the laws changed when it came to restaurants back in the 60s. People in the South said, we're not going to serve black people at certain places. And the law changed and said, no, you have to, because you're a public accommodation and we have to treat people fairly in this country. And you may not like serving people of different races because of the way you're wired, but sorry, the people's rights to be served predominate. So I don't know. I have my way of thinking how this should go, but you know, the Supreme Court is very conservative now, and I think we might have a ruling that says that, you know, that person gets to decide whether or not to give service to somebody based upon their sexual orientation.
And I know this is totally unrelated. Karen Conti on the line with us, but I, along with everyone, have watched the Dahmer series. Yes. On Netflix. And it just, if I was a member of the victim's family, I would be so frustrated with that being shown. Do they have any legal recourse or anything about any Dahmer things going on?
They really don't. And, you know, I know that's been talked about quite a bit. And, you know, I had some affiliation, of course, representing a serial killer myself. And the victim's family, they get traumatized every time these kinds of things go on. I mean, but the truth of the matter is people are fascinated by serial killers, the Bundys, the Gacys, you know, the Green River murderers. And you're going to see these. I mean, even Jack the Ripper still gets played over, you know, after hundreds of years. So it's unfortunate that they don't have the rights, but I assume they're traumatized every time this type of thing comes out. But there's no real legal recourse at all.
That's a shame, and I am sorry, but I am into real crime, and I can't say I enjoy it, but I'm intrigued by it, and I watched it. And I guess just a better way to do it would perhaps be to spend more time getting to know the victims instead of just Jeffrey Dahmer.
I understand that, and I think that's a good way to do it. And when you watch the true crime and those really good documentaries, will focus on the person's upbringing and how great they were.
Yeah.
And what their goals could have been, and you kind of feel connected to the victim. And you're right, especially because, you know, some of these people, the whole thing is unseemly, but we're still fascinated by it.
I know,
right?
We are.
You know, you can't stop watching it, and because you look at Dahmer and you think, how did this get created?
I mean,
he had an upbringing that was not as bad as, you know, some people's upbringing, and yet, you know, you don't have this kind of abnormal behavior.
Exactly. We're going to talk about that more today because everybody's watching it. But Karen Conti, thank you so much. I really appreciate talking to you.
All right, Wendy, take care.